B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psochim Dav Zayin. We're going to start on Dav Vav Omud Beis, 18 lines from the bottom of the Omud. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav, Haboidek, we've learned already that there's a chiyuv on the night of the 14th of Nisan to do Bedikas Chometz. Says Rav, that when you do Bedika, immediately following the Bedika, Tzorech Shivatil. On the night of the 14th of Nisan, you finish Bedikas Chometz, straight away you have to do Bittel. Bittel, what does it mean, Bittel? Bittel means to nullify the Chometz, to nullify the value of the Chometz. Where and how do you do that? So nullification, which is giving up the value of it, being Mevatel it, happens in the heart. But besides for in the heart being mevatel the chometz, then the Chachomim said that you should express that bittel by saying, and we all know this, kol chamiro v'chamiro, etc., as printed in all the Haggadahs in the Sidurim. That so Rashi says that the bittel is the b'liboy in his heart, v'oimer, and he should say the kol chamiro. Asks the Gemara, my tam, why do you have to do the bittel? You've searched for the chometz. Tomorrow morning, which means the Erev Pesach, the day of the 14th of Nisan, you're going to burn the chometz. As we've already seen, in the sixth hour, we're going to burn the chometz. That's it. Why do I need to nullify the chometz? Inema Mishum Pirurin, says the Gemara, could it be that the reason you have to do Bittul is because there may be some crumbs that you may have overlooked when you were doing the Bedikas chometz, and you're not going to destroy those crumbs, and you're going to be owning, and those crumbs are going to be in your home, and that's why you need to do bittel. And that way, one of the ways of doing tashbisu, of getting rid of the chometz, is getting rid of it in our hearts, as if we don't care about them, we don't want to own them, we don't need to own them, and so to speak, we've just considered them as the dust of the earth, and then they have no more value to us, and a person will not transgress bal yiroi and bal yimotzei. Says the Gemara, Holoi Chashivi, these crumbs that you may have overlooked, they are not significant at all. And since they're not significant, you will not transgress Bal Yiroi and Bal Yimotzei, and nor will you come to eat them if you find them on Pesach. V'chi teima, kiven de mintar lehu agav besa. Are you going to say that it's all very good that the crumbs themselves, they are insignificant, but you're actually doing an act of protecting and guarding those crumbs? Every time you close your door, any time you guard the content of your home, you're also guarding and protecting these crumbs. And since you're guarding them, they are part of your home, which you're making sure stays guarded and protected, then that alone gives it value, and therefore you could transgress Bal Yiroi and Bal Yimotzei. Says the Gemara, no. V'chitem, are you going to say, kiven de mintar luhu agav beisa chashiva, they have significance since you're protecting them whilst protecting everything else in your home? No, we don't say that. V'otanya, we learnt in a brisa. Soifei te'enim. If somebody is, we're talking here about the figs at the end of the harvest. That means those figs that remained on the trees after he's harvested the ripe figs, and these soifei te'enim are never going to become ripe. There's nothing to do with them. And he's protecting his field now, mipnei anovim. He doesn't want people to come in, and he doesn't mind, he wouldn't necessarily mind if they take these seifei te'enim, they have no value. But he's protecting his field that people shouldn't come in to take the grapes, that the time of the harvest of the grapes has not yet arrived. The grapes in his field, he doesn't want people to take them. And by the way that he's protecting his field for the grapes, those soifei te'enim, those unripe and never to be ripe figs, are also being protected. Soifei anovim, what happens if at the end of the season of harvesting the grapes, and you've got those last few bunches of grapes that are never going to become ripe, umashamer sodeyu, and he's protecting his field, mipnei mashkois, mikashois, umipnei midelois. He's protecting them from the growth of vegetation of the kishuim and the diluim, which are sometimes translated as squash and gourd. And even though he's protecting the field for the kishuim and the diluim, but by the way, he's also protecting the soifei anovim. And what difference does this make to us? That fruits, food items that are protected, that are have owners to them, then one has got a chiyuv to take trumas and maishas before eating them. However, if they are hefker, they are ownerless, that means the owners have given up on them and couldn't care about them, then fruits that are hefker, one doesn't need to take maishas. The question is the fact that this person, the owner of this field, is guarding his field for those fruits that are yet to become ripe. And by the way, he's also protecting the fruits that he doesn't care about, that in his mind are hefka. Do we say that it's still considered as if he owns those fruits and he wants them and they're significant in his eyes? And then they would be chayiv in maisa. Or do we say, no, I'm protecting my field for those fruits that are going to become ripe, but those that are not going to become ripe are insignificant, even though they're being guarded by the way. So says the Braisa, Bisman shebalabais makbid alein, only if the owner is very particular on these soifei ta'enim or soifei anovim, and he wants to guard them in particular, he gives them significance, then asurim mishum gezel. Number one, if somebody comes in and takes them, he's transgressed the avera of stealing, v'chayovin b'maiser, and also they are considered as if they have owners, and they will be chayev in the maisers. Bisman she'ein balabais makbid alein. However, in the event that the owner doesn't care about them, is not particular about them, he's happy just to, you know, for them to he's got no value and they're not significant in his eyes. If somebody comes in and takes them, he's not transgressed the prohibition of stealing, because as far as the owner is concerned, it's hefka, it's ownerless. And since it's ownerless, there's no chiyuv to take maisus on them. So you see clearly in the Braisa that even though these soifei te'enim and soifei anovim are being protected and guarded in the field, nonetheless they are considered insignificant if the owner doesn't want them. So too these crumbs, even though they're being protected in his home, since they're insignificant in his eyes, they're not considered as that he owns them, that he cares about them, and he will not transgress Bal Yirah and Bal Yimotzeh. Says the Gemara, Omar Rava, Rava says, you're right. It's not because of your ownership of the crumbs. We have another issue, that the reason that you have to do bittel, even though you've done bedikas chometz and you're going to burn and destroy the chometz you've found, is gezeiro shemo yimtzo gluske yofe. We're all human beings. It could be that you overlooked a corner, and in the middle of Pesach, you're going to find a very nice gluske, a cake, a roll, however you translate it, something nice, they're not just some crumbs, and you'll be tempted to eat them. And even if you're not going to be, chas v'shalom, tempted to eat it, daita ilave, in his mind, he's giving it some significance. And for a few moments, he doesn't want to get rid of it, and he may not get rid of it at all. And since he will give significance to that gluske yofa, then he will have transgressed Bal Yirah and Bal Yimotzeh. Therefore, we say that if you're mevatle in your heart, then that is one way of performing the mitzvah of Tashbisu. You've gotten rid of it, you've destroyed it, it's like not in your world anymore. And then even if you're going to find it on Pesach, you're not going to transgress Bal Yirah and Bal Yimotzeh. Asks the Gemara of Mechi Meshkachas Leilevatli, why do I need to do the bittel immediately after doing Bedikas Chometz on the night of the 14th? When I find the Gluski Yofa, I'll straight away say Kol Chamira, I'll straight away say that in my mind, I don't want this, it's Chometz, I never wanted it on Pesach, and he'll do the Hefka then, he'll do bittel then. Answers the Gemara, Dilma Meshkachas Leilebosar Yisura, because you might find it on Pesach, and there's a rule that on Pesach there's no concept of bittel. If you find it before the onset of Pesach, you can do bittel. But if you can't find, and we'll soon see why you can't do bittel before the onset of Pesach. We're talking here about almost 24 hours before Pesach. We're talking here about the night of the 14th. But in the event that you find the Gluski Yofi on Pesach, then you can't do bittel. We can't do bittel. We'll soon see why. Since you cannot do bittel, you have to do the bittel before. Because if you don't do bittel at all, and you find this Gluski Yofi, then in the absence of bittel, you're going to come to transgress Bal Yirah and Bal Yimotzeh. Why? Dilma Mishkachas Lebosa Yisura. You may find this Gluske Yofa on Pesach, after the Zman Isser, which means after the sixth hour on Erev Pesach. V'lav b'rshusei kaima. And from that point on, no chometz is really yours. The Torah, it's all, It's all osur bahana. No one is allowed to have any benefit from chometz. It's so to speak, not considered in your possessions at all. And nonetheless, and therefore, since it's osur bahana, v'loy motzi mevatel, you cannot nullify something that's not yours, that you don't have possession over. D'amar Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar said, shnei dvorin einon b'rishus shel adam. There are two things that are not yours. They're not in the possession of a person. And nonetheless, v'asan akos of ki'ilu b'rishusay. The Torah made a person responsible for it as if it was in his possession, which means there's a certain liability that the Torah gave him as if it was in his possession, but he does not have any, there's no part in it which is actually and truly in his possession, and the difference will be that you cannot do bittel. Ve'eluhin, what are they? Boir b'rishus harabim, if somebody dug a pit in the Rishus harabim, even though he dug this pit in the Rishus harabim, it doesn't become his. It's not yours, it's public property. Nonetheless, you have liability. It's considered your pit. If somebody falls into it, you will be held responsible for it. V'chometz mishei shoyis ulemaylo, and chometz beyond the sixth hour on Erev Pesach, where it's osur b'hana. It's not yours. It's not considered you have possession over it. Nonetheless, it's considered the Torah put it in your rishus that if you didn't do bittel, you can transgress bali roi and bali motze with it. It's called lecha. It's called yours, even though in truth you have no possession over it. It's osur b'hana. Asks the Gemara, why do you have to do the bittel in the night of the 14th after Bedikas Chometz, v'nevatil ba'arba? Why don't you do the bittel in the fourth hour of the 14th day, v'nevatil ba'chamesh, or do the bittel in the fifth hour of the 14th day of Nisan? Why do you have to do it in the evening of the 14th of Nisan? Answers the Gemara, kiven de lav zman isurahu, since the fourth or fifth hour is not actually the zman issa, v'lav zman bi'urahu, nor is it a time that you're doing bi'ur, you're not actively engaged in getting rid of the chometz in any way, and it's not actually the time of the issa, therefore dilma poshar v'loy mevatil, he may forget to do the bittel, and then he's going to be negligent, so to speak, and or maybe he's going to forget because of negligence, and he's not going to do the bittel. So when the issa comes, that's a point where a person wouldn't forget, but then it's too late already. And there's only two other points that a person wouldn't forget. Either the time of the bedikas chometz, where in any case he's engaged in searching for the chometz, immediately after that do kol chamira, you won't forget. Or when you're actually burning the chometz in the sixth hour, then since you're engaged in burning the chometz, you wouldn't forget then either. But to do it in the fourth or fifth hour, which is not the time of Bedikas Chometz, it's not the time of Biur Chometz, and it's not the time of Isser Chometz, then there's nothing going to remind you, and you may come to neglect the Bittel Chometz. Says the Gemara, V'nevat le'beshis, no problem. So why don't you do the Bittel of the Chometz in the sixth hour when you're burning the Chometz? And you won't forget, since you're engaged in burning the Chometz, you'll also do the Bittel then. Says the Gemara, there's another issue. Even though in the sixth hour, since biblically speaking, the Issa Chometz starts at the end of the sixth hour, but the Chachomim said you have to burn the Chometz in the sixth hour to make sure that by the time the end of the sixth hour arrives, there's no more Chometz left in your possession, that sixth hour, according to the Chachomim, Midrabonon, is Osur Bano. You're also not allowed to derive any benefit from it. So exactly the same way as the after the sixth hour, where it's osur b'hana min ha-Torah, the Gemara says that we saw before, Rebbe Elazar said that even though they are not really yours, the Torah gave you the liability for it if you own it then, but it's not really yours, it's osur b'hana, you're not allowed to derive benefit from it, it's as if it's not in your possession, and therefore you cannot do bittel. The same applies here. From the beginning of the sixth hour, it's osur b'hana midrabonon. You're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to give it to your animals to eat, you're not allowed to derive any benefit from it. And therefore, it's not considered enough in your possession that you can do bittel. Kiven de Isura Drabonon Ale, since the Rabbonon said you're not allowed to derive benefit from the Chometz, even from the beginning of the sixth hour, Kud Oirais Adamya, it's similar to the Issa that we saw, which is the biblical Issa, starting at the beginning of the seventh hour, V'lav B'rishusei Kaima, it's not considered in his possession, V'loi Motzi Mevatel, he can no longer do the Bittel. So the bittul has to happen before the beginning of the sixth hour. Before the beginning of the sixth hour, we need a marker where you're going to, we can take it for granted, you're going to remember to do it. The only marker we have before that is when you're actually doing the Bedikas Chometz on the night of the 14th. The Omer of Gidl, Omer of Chia bar Yosef Omer Rav, where do we find that even something which is only rabbinically prohibited to benefit from, we say that it's already out of your possession, because Rav said, HaMekadesh Mishay Shoyesu L'maylo, if somebody takes Chometz in the sixth hour, in the middle of the sixth hour, Min HaTorah, it's not yet Asa. It's only Asa from the end of the sixth hour. And what did he do with this Chometz in the sixth hour? Afilu b'chita kurdeniso, even if it's the wheat that was grown in the place of kurdeniso, which Rashi says is the Hore Ororot, and they are very hard. Kurdeniso is a term used for something very hard. And so this is very hard wheat. And ein choshishin l'kiddushin. Then if somebody takes a piece of chometz in the sixth hour on Erev Pesach, maybe a very valuable roll he may have paid, who knows how much for it, and it's worth a lot, he goes to a woman and he says, Hareat mukudeshesli with this gluska yofa, I want you to become my wife with this cake, with this roll, with this chometz. Ein choshishin l'kiddushin. We say that it's not considered kiddushin. Why? Because since it's after the beginning of the sixth hour, midrabbonon, you're not allowed to have hanah from it, you're not allowed to derive benefit or pleasure from it, so it's as if it's not in your possession. You cannot be mekadesh a woman with something that's not yours. So you see clearly that even from the beginning of the sixth hour, we consider all the chometz that person has as not in his possession, and therefore you cannot do bittul from that point on. And Rashi asks here a tremendously strong question, that Kiddushin is minatayr. If you're Mekadosh a woman, she becomes an Ashes Ish. And if she then marries somebody else, it's a Chiyuv of Koros, it's terrible. And so this person took Chometz, minatayr, he can eat it. Minatayr. He was Mekadosh an Ish, or minatayr, she's Mekudeshes. Come the Chachomim and say no. Since we want you not to get confused with the hours, we'll soon see in the Gemara later on in the Perek, and therefore we don't let you have any benefit from it from the beginning of the sixth hour, and now she can go and marry anybody? That's what Rashi asks here, and Rashi says yes. When it comes to monetary things, we have a number of rules that actually allow the Chachomim to nullify a transaction that was done, even though, biblically speaking, it would be valid, the Chachomim can nullify it, and it will be nullified even from a biblical perspective. The rules that are used is, number one, as far as Kiddushin is concerned, kol de mekadesh adat darabonon mekadesh, there's an unspoken, taken-for-granted condition when anyone is mekadesh a woman, he's doing it on condition that the Chachomim agree. Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. So if the Moshe v'Yisrael, if the Chachomim say, now this, the item you were Mekadosh the woman with, is not in your possession, then even min ha-Torah, it's as if the person said, I only want the Kiddushin to be valid. If the Chachomim agree with it, then even min ha-Torah, it's not valid. And there's a second rule, says Rashi, of Hefker based in Hefker, that when it comes to monetary issues, the Chachomim, the based in, can actually take some possessions away from a person and deem it as ownerless. Here too, the Chachomim, so to speak, took all Chometz from Klal Yisrael from the beginning of the sixth hour and rendered it ownerless. Once the Chachomim did that, then it's not even valid min ha-Torah. That means the concept, the logic of Hefker based in Hefker works even on a biblical level, and that's we go later on in Shas, we're going to discuss that. Says the Gemara, so what we can deduce from everything we've just learnt is that after the Zman Isser sets in, biblically from after the sixth hour, rabbinically from the beginning of the sixth hour, you can no longer do Bittul Chometz. V'hotanya, this seems to be contrary to a Braisa. Hoya Yoshev Bebeis HaMedrash. If somebody was sitting in a Beis HaMedrash, he was sitting and learning Torah. V'nizkar she'esh Chometz B'seich Beisa, and he remembers he's got Chometz in his home. And he's got a certain awe for his Rebbe. He can't just get up and walk out. Then what should he do? Mevatli b'liboy. He should be mevatli, should nullify the chometz in his heart. Echod Shabbos v'echod Yom Tov, irrespective if it's on Shabbos or if it's on Yom Tov, even if it's Shabbos and Yom Tov, just do bittul b'lev. Says the Gemara, Bishleim Shabbos. When the Braisa mentions Shabbos, I can understand that. Mishkachas lo kegoin shechol arbo os olies b'Shabbos. If the 14th of Nisan is on Shabbos, it's Erev Pesach. And at some point he's in the Beis HaMedrash learning Torah. What else would one do on Erev Pesach if not be in the Beis HaMedrash and learn Torah? And he remembers he's got chometz and he cannot get up and get rid of it. And it's not yet Zman Issa. And since it's not yet Zman Issa, he can be mevatlei belibo, he can nullify it in his heart. Elo Yom Tov, however, the Braisa says that even on Yom Tov you can do this. Bosar Isurahu. Yom Tov means it's already Pesach. If it's already Pesach, it's after the beginning of the Zman Issa. How can you be mevatlet? How can the Braisa say mevatlei belibo, nullify it in his heart? You can't do bittel on Yom Tov on Pesach. Answers the Gemara, Omer v'achar b'Yaakov, hocha b'talmid yeshev lifnei rabbi yoskinon. First of all, we're talking here about a Talmud who's sitting in front of his Rebbe, and because of the awe of his Rebbe, he cannot get up. And unless we really force him to get up, he doesn't feel comfortable to get up now from the Beis HaMedrash. V'nizkar sheyesh isa megulgeles b'seich beisoy. He doesn't have chometz in his house. He's got a kneaded dough that is going to become chometz if somebody doesn't go quick and either bake it or destroy it. But otherwise, it will become chometz, and it's on Pesach. But now, he's afraid. In the middle of learning Torah, he remembers, if I don't get up and do something now, it will become chometz, and if it becomes chometz, that's going to be very serious. It's Pesach. So what should he do? Kodim, he should proceed even before it becomes chometz straight away. Mevatel le mikamei de tachmitz. He should do the bittel in his heart before it becomes chometz. You can be mevatel and a yet unleavened dough. Once you mevatel it, whatever happens, it doesn't matter. It's ownerless. It's not mine anymore. I've disassociated from it. So there, even though it's yom tov, you can do it. It's not yet chometz. Only once it becomes chometz, it becomes osur b'hanor, and then you cannot do bittel. We're talking about before that. Daikenami, and I can prove to you that we're talking about that the incident is the fact that it's not yet become chometz. Diktoni, because in the Braisa it says Hoyo Yoishiv B'Soich Beis HaMedrash. It's only because he's in the Beis HaMedrash and he cannot get up because of awe of his Rebbe, then he's got no choice other than Mevatli Beliboy. But it seems from here that if he would not be in the Beis HaMedrash and his time would be at his hands and he could go back home, there's something else he could have done. If we're talking about it's already chometz, there's nothing else you could do. What are you going to do about it now? It's because it's already chometz. And the very fact that it says that it's only because you're in the Beis HaMedrash, therefore all you can do is bittel. But if you're not in the Beis HaMedrash, you could have done something else. It must be that it's not yet chometz. And if it wouldn't be in the Beis HaMedrash, then he would be able to go and either bake it or burn it and get rid of it. Shema mino. So that's proof that's how to understand the Braisa, that it's not yet chometz, and therefore we understand that once it's already become the Zman Issa, one can no longer do bittel. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rabbe Barav Huna Omar Rav. Another aloch in the name of Rav. Hapas she'ipsho. You've got some bread here, which is spoilt. It's ipsho, it's moldy, it's spoilt. And it's not clear and evident, is this bread here chometz bread or matzah bread? So the Rav says, kivan sheribso matzah, since there's a greater amount of matzah, that means there's more matzah than chometz, muteres, we assume that it's matzah and it's not chometz, it's muter. That's all Rav said, and it's a little bit cryptic, and the Gemara is now going to discuss it. Hey chadomi, what's the situation? What are we talking about with this pas sheibsha, this spoilt bread? Ilei medyoda bod chometzi. If you knew that this bread was once chometz, now it's spoiled, but you knew that this bread is chometz, kiribsa matzah mayhava. The fact that there's more matzah than chometz around in this box, or has been used in this area, more matzah than chometz, so what? If you know this is chometz, it's chometz. Ela de lo yodinon bo. You don't know, is this bread here from before Pesach and then it's obviously chometz, or is it from now on Pesach and it's matzah? Lo yodinon bo, you don't know y chometz hava, hu y matzah, you don't know if it's chometz or matzah. So, if so, my iryo kiribs or matzah, in which case, what's the difference whether most of the bread that has been used in this basket was matzah and then we can assume it's matzah. Afilu ki lo yirob so matzah nami. Even in the event that most of the bread that was used in this basket, in this box, was chometz, I can still assume it's matzah. Why? Because there's a new logic. Besides for a logic of roiv, of majority, which we use, there's another concept called nasal bos or basra. You should assume that it belongs to the, or its last use. Anything that the use of something changes periodically, and then you find something in that place, you assume that it's a remnant of the last time you used it. Let's find an example. Miloitnan, did we not learn in a Mishnah? Mois shenimtzu lifnei soichrei behema. If you find money around in the vicinity of the animal dealers, la'olam maisa. If it's anywhere in the world, or anywhere where they would sell, not in the world, but to anywhere they would sell these animals, we assume that it's maisa, because people would come and would use, there would be maisa, money of maisa sheni, which has to be eaten in Yerushalayim, and people would buy food with it. What food would they buy? They would buy animals with it, and it's animals which are kodosh of kedushas maisa sheni. And since most of the money that was given to these dealers, or the people coming to the dealers, the money that they obviously, once it was given to the dealers, the money becomes chulin, and the kedushas maisa sheni applies to the animal. But the money lying around in front of the money dealers, the people that come to the money dealers, most of the money is maisa sheni money, and therefore la'olam, this money is maisa sheni, is maisa b'harabais. However, money that you find on the harabais chulin, there, since the harabais itself, they never used to sweep it. It never needed to be dusted. The mountain itself, being that it's on a mountainside, it would clean itself, and the dust would roll down, and people would be careful not to come to harabais with dust on their feet. Therefore, they never ever swept it up, and therefore in the whole year, all sorts of people with all sorts of money are coming on Harabayis. There indeed, we say that roiv, the majority of money on Harabayis, is not Maisa Sheni money, and therefore, if you find money there, chulin, we can assume that it's not Maisa Sheni, it's regular chulin money. Birushalayim, however, if you find it in the streets of Yerushalayim, then, and the streets of Yerushalayim, they would sweep the whole time, B'shas HaRegel, in the time where all the people were coming to Yerushalayim for Aliyah L'Regel, that's when they would bring their money of Maisa, then the money that we find here, we assume, is Maisa, because all the money that may have dropped the whole year, and that's the majority of money that would be found in Yerushalayim during the year. However, since that money is swept consistently, we say that we don't care what happened before. Since it was swept, we look what's now. Since it's B'shas HaRegel, since now it's the time where all of Klal Yisrael come, and now most of the money here is Maisa Sheni money, we assume it's Maisa. B'shari Maisa Shana, the rest of the year, where the money that was dropped during the Regel has been swept away, Chulin, the money that's been the latest events, that means after the Regel, most of the money is chulin in Yerushalayim. So you see clearly that even though most of the money is always chulin, however, in places where the previous scenario has been swept away and has changed, we now assume that the money you find is from the latest scene, which is depending on what's now. V'omer of Shemaya Bar Zera, my tama. Why do we say that that's the reason for these halachas? What's the reason behind these halachas? Hoyel v'shuke Yerushalayim asuyin l'iskabed. Since the marketplaces in Yerushalayim are constantly swept, b'chol yoyim, every day, and therefore, if it's now regel, you assume now it's maiser. If it's now it's not regel, we assume that now the money is chulin, and we don't look at the overall majority. Alma, omrinon kamoi kamoi ozlele. Whatever was before is as if it's not here anymore. V'hani, and this that you find, achrini ninu, and the money you find now is not associated in any way to what was before. Whatever is now, if now we assume it's maiser, the halacha is it's maiser. Hochanami, if so, here also, and he find this pas she'ipsha, who cares that most of the bread in this box, possibly in a year, is chometz bread, or as the Brisa says, kivan she'ripsa matzah, in the event that most of the bread is matzah, it's matzah. Either way, that we go, we follow the majority. Neima kama kama ozil. Why don't you say that what was before Pesach has gone? Well, this person is a frum person. He did bedikas chometz. He probably took out any chometz that was left in this box. He found this bread in the box on Pesach. And so why don't we assume that if it was chometz, it would be gone? V'hai v'dohoidnahu. And this pas she'ipsha is bread that came now in the most recent events. And it's obviously matzah. What's it got to do with roiv? Answers the Gemara, no. Shan yehocha di'ipusha mo'ichicha olayu. Here, the state of this bread, the mold, and the fact that it's gone completely ruined already, of this bread, is showing us that this bread has been here for a while. So it's true that in the last few days, it's only matzah here. This bread seems to be here from a while. And so you can't say, yeah, we did bedikas chometz, and we probably got rid of it. Apparently not. Ask the Gemara, if the level, the degree of spoilage of this bread is proving that it's been here from before Pesach, then kiribsa matzah may have, then who cares if most of the bread now is matzah? Even if most of the bread is matzah, it's clear this bread was here from before Pesach, and we can assume it's chometz. It should be aser. Omar Rabba says no. Loi teimush aribsa matzah. The Braisa didn't mean to say that if there's more matzah here, then indeed we can assume it's matzah. No. Elo Eima, what it means is sherobu yemei matzah ilavei. That there's been enough days of matzah. That means there's enough days of Pesach have already passed that would contribute to the fact that it's this level of spoilt. And then we assume since the whatever was before has been cleaned away with bedikas chometz, we're allowed to assume that this is matzah. Asks the Gemara, ihocha pshita. If the amount of days that have passed is enough that would explain this level of spoilage of the bread, and you assume it's matzah, then it's pashut. Of course it's matzah. What's the chiddush here? Says the Gemara, loy, it's not so pashut. Tzricha, there's an element of chiddush here. De'ipusha merubah, it's very spoiled. Mao detema, I may have thought, given de'ipusha merubah, since it's so spoiled, iglamilsa, it's apparent that devadai chometz ma'aliyahi, you can assume that definitely it was there from way before the matzah days and its chometz. Komash melon, the chiddush of the Braisa says no. Kiven sherobu yemei matzah ilavei, since a number of days of Pesach have already passed, Omrinon we say, kol yoyma v'yoyma, every single day of Pesach, na'ma chamima offer. He baked new matzahs, new bread, which is obviously matzah, v'shodo ilavei, and this hot matzah was put on into this box on top of that old matzah that got left from, let's assume, from day one of Pesach, the matzah got left there. And every day you added on more matzahs that were warm, that caused it, v'ipshotfei, it caused it to despoil very, very much, because when in a hot environment, food gets spoilt quicker and more. And therefore we assume that even though it's really, really looks spoilt, nonetheless, it doesn't matter. It could be, it was just to the last few days, and the reason it looks so spoilt is because every day you piled hot bread on top of it, hot chometz on top of it. Therefore, the chiddush of the braisa is, kiven sherobu yomei matzi lavei, you're allowed to assume that had it been chometz, you would have gotten rid of it before Pesach, and it's all away, and this is matzah. Continues the Gemara. Umiyos linon basar basra, we've just learned a whole long Gemara that tells us that we can rely on basra. On the last case, on the last scene, if now it's Pesach and we assume that chometz bread has been washed away, has been thrown out, we assume it's matzah. Or like we saw, if the chulin money in Yerushalayim has been swept away, we assume that it's maisa, even though roiv, majority, would say no. The majority of bread is chometz. The majority of money over the year is chulin. No, you go bos or basra, you go according to what's the last events. V'atanya, this seems to contradict the braisa. Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda Omer, teva shenishtamshu bo mois chulin. If you had a box that would serve you to also hold coins of chulin, u'mois maisa. Sometimes you wouldn't put chulin in, sometimes you'd put maisa in. It depends. Sometimes there was only maisa in there, sometimes there was only chulin in there. And now you've got, found some money there, and you don't know, is the money that's in there now chulin money or meiser money? Says the Braisa, imroiv chulin, if most of the money in this box is chulin money, we assume that it's chulin. Imroiv meiser, meiser. asks the Gemara, V'amai, why do you say that you look at the collective majority of money that this box is used for, nasal bas or basra? It depends what you used it for last. If you last used it for chulin, we assume this is chulin money and not maisa money that was left from before. If you last used it for maisa, we assume it's maisa and not from chulin that you left it before. If, according to the logic that we're saying now, that things that change from one use to the next, then if you find something now, we assume that it's not left from a previous lot, but it's here from the very, very last time that you used it. Answers the Gemara. We're going to have three answers. Omrav Nachon by Yitzchak Kocha b'may oskinon ki goyin te nishtamshu bo mois chulin u mois maisa v'ein yudea ezemen basayf. We're talking about a person that he sometimes uses it for chulin, sometimes for maisa, and he doesn't remember what he last used it for. And that's indeed the question. For that, the Braisa says, if the majority of times that you use it is for chulin, we assume that you last used it for chulin. If the majority is maisa, we assume that the last time you used it was for maisa. The second explanation, Rav Zvid Omar, k'goyin shenishtamshu bo tziburin tziburin. We're talking about a person who would use this box for chulin money and maisa money at the same time. Piles, would have piles of chulin money, piles of maisa money at the same time. So you can't say, what did you use it for last? I used it for both. And the question is, this particular coin, what does it belong to? Is it chulin? Is it maisa? For that, the Braisa says, see what the majority is. Rav Papa Omar, the third explanation, k'goyin d'ishtakach b'guma. We're talking about that he found it in a hole, in a crevice inside the box. And then you cannot assume, well, since last week I used it for chulin, this week I used it for maisa, and I got rid of all the chulin money before using it for maisa, it's definitely maisa. No, this was in a little box, and it may well have remained behind from a previous usage of chulin. And therefore, even though you last used it for maisa, that doesn't mean that it's maisa. So I don't know whether this coin is from the last use or from a previous use. For that, the Braisa says, if you don't know, then you follow the majority. Continues the Gemara, a new sugya. Omar Rav Yehuda, haboidek tzorich shivorich. And this is Rav Yehuda had this big chiddush, and the Rishonim here discuss, what's the chiddush? When you do bedikas chometz, you need to make a bracha. We all make a bracha. Asher kichonu b'mitzvayso v'tzivonu al biur chometz. So that's what Rav Yehuda says, you need to make a bracha. Why there should be a chiddush? You make a bracha on every mitzvah you do. That's the Rishonim discuss. Asks the Gemara, my mevorich, what's the nusach, what's the formula of the bracha? What bracha do you make? So we know that we make al biur chometz, but that's something that wasn't always so straightforward. Rav Papi Omar, mishmei derava, oimer levair chometz. That Rav Papi says the formula is not like we say al biur chometz regarding getting rid of chometz, it's levair chometz, to get rid of chometz, to dispose of chometz. Rav Papa Omar, Rav Papa says no. The bracha is not levair, it's not levair, to dispose of chometz. Mishmei de Rava, he said in the name of Rava, al biur chometz. The bracha is regarding the disposal of chometz. And there's a very fundamental difference between whether you say levair, to, that means asher kichonu b'mitzvosav, you've sanctified us with your mitzvahs, with his mitzvahs, v'tzivonu, and you've commanded us levair to destroy, to dispose of the chometz. That means, number one, the term, the formula to destroy, to do something, is to do it in future tense. And also, v'tzivonu levair would mean that there's a commandment on me, the one making the bracha, to dispose of the chometz. If it would be al biur chometz, al biur is regarding the disposal of chometz. There is such a mitzvah. Even if it's not incumbent upon me to do this mitzvah for whatever reason, I could still use the formula al regarding, because there is such a mitzvah. But I could not say levair chometz, that Hashem commanded him to dispose of the chometz if he didn't command me to do it. That's one difference. And another difference is that levair is always in future tense. Hashem commanded us to do something. But if Hashem commanded us regarding a certain mitzvah, it could be I already did the mitzvah and I'm doing the bracha after the mitzvah. I could still say levair. But if I need to say that in future tense, that means the la is always in the future. The al could be in the future, it could be in the past. And if it's in the past tense, if al means regarding the mitzvah that's already been done, then if I've not yet done the mitzvah, if I'm about to do the mitzvah, I cannot say al. So that we're going to have to see how that works here in the Gemara. But those are the main differences between la and al. So the Gemara is going to explain. But levayir, the term to dispose of, kule al malei pligi, everybody agrees, devadai lahaba mashma. Everybody agrees it's referring to something you're going to do in the future. I haven't yet done the mitzvah. I'm about to do the mitzvah. I'm making a brocha. I make a brocha. Hashem commanded us to do this mitzvah to dispose the chometz or any other mitzvah we're about to do. Ki pligi, where's Rav Poppy and Rav Papa arguing? Ba'al biur. The term regarding the disposal of chometz, mar sovar meikora, according to Rav Poppy, al means in past tense, that regarding that mitzvah that I've already done. And therefore, over here with Bedikas Chometz, where I haven't yet destroyed the Chometz, I've not yet disposed the Chometz, so if Poppy says, you have to say, Levayr, because if you said Al, it would mean in the past tense. And you cannot make a broch in the past tense, you haven't done the mitzvah yet. Or Marasovar of Papa, however, argues and says that Al also means Lahabo in the future, Mashma. And therefore, if Papa says, it's true you haven't yet done it, nonetheless, you can say Al, because Al also means future like La. That means that what La and Al have in common, according to Rav Papa, is they're both in the future tense. And the truth is that to say Al, meaning in the past, it also means the past, but it doesn't only mean the past. That means La always means in the future. Al, according to Rav Papa, it's also means the past tense, so we prefer not to use it when you haven't yet done the mitzvah. But it could also mean in the future. It has to be that way. Rashi says that, Tosafot says that, otherwise we're not going to understand the next Gemara. Ask the Gemara of Meisvei. We're asking now a question against the opinion that says you have to say la. That means according to Rav Papa, that says that al means past tense and therefore don't use it if you haven't yet done the mitzvah, we're going to have a question on that. He says in the Braisa, Baruch Asher, or it's a sugi at the end of Shabbos, Baruch Asher Kitchonu b'mitzvoisov v'tzivonu al hamilo. Before doing the mitzvah of mila, we make a bracha al hamilo. According to Rav Papa, al means you already did the mitzvah. How can you say al hamilo? You haven't done it yet. According to Rav Papa, you can say al, it means in the future. According to Rav Papa, in the same way as with Bedikas Chometz, you have to say levayr to destroy the Chometz. With Mila, it should also be lomul. It shouldn't be al hamila. Answers the Gemara, hosom hecha neima. Over there, in the case of bris mila, circumcision, what do you want me to say? Neima, who's making the bracha? The moil, not the father, the moil. The doctor who does the mila of all the children. What do you want him to say? Name a lomul, you want him to say lomul, but we already said before the word the lamed, the to do the mitzvah, that besides for it always meaning the future, it also means that it's incumbent upon the person who's making the bracha to do this mitzvah. Lo isagia de lav iu moil, is that this moil, it's incumbent on him to do the mitzvah of mila, that if he wouldn't do the mitzvah, it would be a problem for him? No, this moil's got nothing to do with this baby. It's not his, he's not the father of the child. And since he doesn't have to do it, therefore he cannot say lomul. Ask the Gemara, okay, I understand that. You cannot say lomul. And as we said before, al can also mean, even according to Rav Papa, at a pinch, it can also mean future tense. So you've got no choice. You say al hamilo. Aviha ben Michael Amemar. What's going to be if the father of the baby is actually doing the bris mila? He can say lomul. Says the Gemara, Enochanami, you're right. If the father of the baby does the mitzvah of, according to Rav Papa, if the father of the baby does the mila, he should say lomul. He shouldn't say al hamilo. Another question asks the Gemara on Rav Papa. Meisvei, Baruch Asher Kitchonu b'mitzvoisov v'tzivonu al hashchita. Shechting an animal, the Sheikhed makes a bracha al hashchita. And he does that before he makes before he does the shchita. According to Rav Papa, he should say lishchit. He shouldn't say al hashchita. Answers the Gemara, Hochanami. Heicha neima, what do you want him to say? Neima lishchit? You want him to say lishchit, that there's a mitzvah to shecht? Lo isagia de lavi u'shochat? What? He has to shecht. Does anyone have to shecht? Number one, he's not the owner of the animal. Number two, even the owner of the animal, there's a mitzvah to shecht. No, there's a concept of, the Torah says, before you eat, shecht, al hashchita, regarding shchita, there's a mitzvah. But to say lishchit, that there's a requirement to shecht, no, you can't say that. And therefore you say al. Asks the Gemara, Pesach v'kotchim ma'ikele meimar, what's going to be with korbonos, korban Pesach and kotchim, where there is a requirement to bring them, is you do have to offer this korban, what bracha are you going to make then? You're also going to say al, says the Gemara, anochanami, you're right, that in the case of Pesach and kotchim, you can say lishchit, you don't need to say al hashchita. And obviously we're talking about that the person himself, that it's incumbent upon him to bring the korban and to shecht the Pesach, he himself is doing the shechita. If it's not him, again we have the issue that we had before with the moel, he wouldn't be able to say lishchit, he would have to say al hashchita. Asks the Gemara another question, meisvei, ha'oise lulav la'atzmoi, if somebody makes for himself a lulav, he ties the lulav, mevorich shechayonu v'kimonu v'giyonu lazman hazeh, we thank Hashem for sustaining us, for keeping us alive and bringing us to this time. Not leilotzis boy. If he actually then takes the lulav in order to do the mitzvah of netilas lulav, what bracha does he make? Oimer asher kichonu b'mitzvoisu v'tzivonu el netilas lulav. Regarding the taking of the lulav, why don't you make a bracha according to Rav Poppy? You should say litoil lulav, not el netilas lulav. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hosam de Be'itna de Agbe Nofakbe. Over there it's different because there, when you make the bracha, after you take the lulav, the moment you have the lulav in your hand, you've already done the mitzvah. You've done the mitzvah. You're now making the bracha on the mitzvah you did. So it's according to Rav Poppy, it's perfect. You say al because it's in past tense. Ihochi, if so, why does it say in the Braisa, not leilotzis boy, if you take it in order to do the mitzvah of lulav, it should be ihochi lotzis boy, yotza boy mi boyle. The Braisa should say that yotza boy, once you've been yotza the mitzvah by just lifting up the lulav, then you make the bracha of al, in which is past tense, according to Rav Poppy. Why? The Braisa seems to say, not leilotzis, you're taking it in order to be mekayim the mitzvah, and nonetheless you say al, which according to Rav Poppy means in the past. Says the Gemara, Enochanami, you're right. The Braisa should have said Yotza boy, that he's already been Yotza. Umishum de kaboy le misna sefer, because at the end of the Braisa, the term used is Leishev basuka, that this person is coming to sit in the sukkah, Tonareshanami Lotze's boy, then uses the same formula at the beginning of the Braisa, that the person is coming to do the mitzvah of lulav. But the truth is that regarding lulav, we're talking about somebody who's already done the mitzvah by lifting up the lulav, and now he's coming to make the bracha, he makes this bracha. Diktoni Sefer, what did we see at the end of the Braisa? Ho'oise sukkah la'atzmoi. If somebody makes for himself a sukkah, before sukkahs. Oimer, he says, Baruch ato Hashem, shechiyonu v'kimonu v'giyonu lazman hazeh. And exactly, we don't make this bracha, we rely on the bracha of shechiyonu that we make on the first night of sukkahs, but this is a discussion in the Gemara in elsewhere in Shas. But Nichnas leishivba, but if he goes in order to do the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah, then he makes a brocha, shekichonu b'mitzvoisu b'tzivonu, leishiv basukkah. That's the brocha that we know. Continues the Gemara, v'hilchasa al biur chometz, the halacha is not like Rav Poppy, the halacha is like Rav Poppy, that even al means the future tense, and you can make the brocha of al biur chometz. Continues the Gemara, dekule al m'miyot, Mikora but inon levruchi. But everybody agrees that in most circumstances we make the bracha before we do a mitzvah. Minolon, where do we know this from? Because the whole discussion here was that you can only say le because le means in the future. You cannot say al according to Rav Poppy because it's going on the past. And you have to make the bracha before you do the mitzvah. Why is everybody taking it for granted you make the bracha before you do the mitzvah? Da'omer v'yodom ha-Shmuel, kol ha-mitzvah is mevorech alein over la'asiyoson. Shmuel said a comment, a statement that's a little bit cryptic, but he said that whenever you do a mitzvah, the bracha has to be made over la'asiyoson. And we assume that to mean, over means before he does the mitzvah. Asks the Gemara, my mashma dahai oiver lishna daktumehu. Where do you find that the word oiver that Shmuel used means before? And then we know that's what Shmuel meant, that you have to make the bracha before doing the mitzvah. So we're going to have a number of different sources from the Torah. Omar of Nachron by Yitzchok. The Omar Kro, it says in the Pasuk, Vayorot Achimaatz, that Achimaatz ran Derech HaKikor, by way of the Kikor, by way of the plain, Vayavoyer Es HaKushi, and he went before the Kushi. So you see that Vayavoyer means before you do a mitzvah, you make the bracha. Abaya Omar Mehocha, Abaya brings a different Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vahu Ovar Lifneim Vayishtachu Arutz HaSheva Pa'omim, when talking about Yaakov, he went before them, before the other members of his family. So you see that Ovar means going before. V'yiboy Seima, another suggestion, says Abaya, Mehocha, that the Pasuk says, Vayavoyer Malkom Lifneim, their king went before them, Vashem Baroisham and Hashem at their head. So you see that Vayavoyer means going before. So either way, the words Vayav, Ovar means before, so Ovar Lasiasa means before doing a mitzvah, you make the bracha. Continues the Gemara. Beirav Omri, in the Beis Medrash of Rav, they said, Chutz min atvila v'shofar, there are two mitzvahs that you always make the bracha after you do the mitzvah. One of them is immersing in the mikvah, and you make the bracha on the tvila in the mikvah when you come out of the mikvah. And shofar, blowing the shofar, you make the bracha after you blow the shofar. Asks the Gemara, Bishlei mitvila, regarding immersing in a mikveh, I can understand that you can't make the bracha before, you have to make it after. Dakate gavra loichozibi, because before he's immersed in a mikveh, the person is not fit to make the bracha. And this is a sugya that we learned in Brachas Daf Chof Amud Beis. There are certain types of tumah that a person is not allowed to make a bracha in that state, and therefore he's got no choice. He makes the bracha after he comes out of the mikvah. Ela shofar maitama, why in the mitzvah of shofar should you have to make the bracha after the mitzvah, not before? V'chi teima misham dilma mekalkele tkia, are you going to say that it's very complex, the halachas, and you make a bracha before, you may end up doing the mitzvah and doing it wrong, then you will not have been mekayim the mitzvah, and then you'll have made the bracha for nothing. So therefore, you first do the mitzvah, it came out okay, then you can make the bracha afterwards. Ihocha afile shchita o mila nami. Why is that difference to shchita and mila that we saw before, that you make a bracha before the mitzvah? They are not less complicated than blowing the shofar. Afile shchita o mila nami. Ela omer v'chizda says, you're right. Chutz min atvila bilvad itmer. What they learnt in Bei Rav is not that the exceptions are tvila and shofar, only tvila. The only exception is tvila. Tanya nami hochi. And we learned in the Brisa this way as well. Toval, somebody who goes into a mikveh va'olo, and he comes up from the mikveh, ba'al yosei, after he comes out of the mikveh, Omer, he makes the brocha, borucha shel kitchonu b'mitzvoyso v'tzivonu al ha'tvila. And because in this one particular case, there might be a couple of others, but because of tvila, in some cases you cannot make the brocha before tvila, therefore all cases of tvila where a brocha would apply, one makes the brocha after the tefillah and not before the tefillah. And in Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.